Hallelujah. Praise God for that. Let's open up our Bibles this afternoon. Genesis chapter 18. It's good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
It's good to have a refuge from the storms of life and obligations of this world. Thank God for a home. Amen. You know, many times, even Brother Branham said, I'm a vagabond. He said, don't you be one. He said, you find somewhere, you find a home, you settle down and find rest for your souls. Amen. Sure love that song we just sang. Actually, I'm pretty sure Brother Donnie Reagan wrote that one years ago. He got it from the Message. That's why you won't hear it nowhere else. And really, it's because there's a revelation there. You know, Brother Branham said it in the Church Age book. The Bible says that he that knew no sin became our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And to say that God died for our sins and the blood was shed, to say that he became a sinner, you're saying at the same time, if I accept that blood, I become the righteousness of God.
Right.
You can't accept one without the other.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, if he did, we all believe this, even denominations believe this, that he became a man. He took sin upon himself and died for it. Then why can't we grasp the other half of it?
Amen.
That because he did that, I am the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
There's nothing to brag there because... Look how much it cost to get that done.
Amen.
It took God's own Son's blood to pay for my sin. There's nothing to brag about. I just thank Him for doing it. Amen. Amen. Choas today, they told me they were going to the meeting down there in Bluffton. Kind of almost like a half vacation thing, really, for them. Their anniversary was here. And just pray for them. That's where they're at. I tell you what it does. I hope it makes you recognize that you're part of this. Just think of it this way. When you miss, it feels this way the other way. You hearing me now? When you might not think you're important. You might not think it means something. But look what happens when one family misses. You know, it feels different. Can you say amen? You know that. And you say, is that scriptural? It absolutely is. He says, if one member hurts, we all hurt. If one member's blessed, we all bless. We all rejoice. And if you don't affect the service... And you might want to go back and check up, make sure you got some, because you might not have nothing to offer.
Amen.
But I don't believe that. I thank God for the group that I do have. I believe it's the cream of the crop. I believe it's people, and look at you trying to be humble. Amen. I believe you are. I do. I believe you're people that are really going to believe this truth until the end. And Doris, Jesus said, those that endure the end, those will be the ones that make it over. So,
amen.
Remember, it was last minute, but Brother Trevor, I think Lord willing, is going to be preaching for us next Sunday. Brother Alexander, this Wednesday, and I guess I'm on vacation. I didn't plan on that, but hey, praise the Lord, I'll take it. Hearing about pastors getting nervous breakdowns and stuff and falling apart, and I don't really understand it too much because I've got the Lord down here. I think maybe we put a different foundation down if you start falling apart. Like what Dad said, if the foundation's Christ, how can you fall apart? You might feel like you're falling apart, but then you hit the rock, and you can't get no further. And you say, praise God. Then you realize he's just building you back up, and that's what you had to tear all that down so he could build you back up. And you say, praise the Lord, I love you, Jesus. Amen. Well, I'm going to preach on something that I've said many times I would. Well, today's the day, so praise the Lord. Genesis 18 and verse 1. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And after that you shall pass on, for therefore ye come to your servant. And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly three measures of the meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. And Abraham ran unto the herd and fetched a calf young and or tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hastened to dress it. And he took butter and milk and the calf which he had dressed and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. I'd like to stop there today. I'd like to preach this afternoon with the help of the Lord. Living in the audience of one. Living in the audience of one. Let's bow our heads. Every head bowed, every heart I trust as well. Is there a need you'd like to lift up to the Lord? With a heart full of faith, would you like to say, Father, hear my heart's cry. While on others you're calling, don't pass me by. God bless you, saints. Let's pray with all of our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us again today, Father. And as I've said already, thank you for giving us a home. Not just this building, not just these people, but beyond that, your word, the sure foundation that we can always resort back to, Lord, and it protects us from anything the devil could ever do. We thank you so much that you've taken the seals off and taken the scales off our eyes and shown us the truth of this hour, shown us how to stay away from the deceptions of the enemy. That, as you said, if it wasn't for the election of God, we'd all be deceived. But we thank you, Lord, that you heard us, that you knew us, Father, and you elected us to stand in this day. And we give you praise for it. We pray, Father, you'll come, forgive us, Lord, of all of our ways. Take away all of our sins by your blood. Hear the heart's cry of your people. May you fulfill every desire that's in here today. Heal every sickness, Lord. Encourage every discourage. Fill every empty, Lord. And may we leave here refreshed in the Holy Ghost and know that we've heard from heaven. Speak to us, Lord, we pray, and help us, Lord, to ever be listening. In Jesus Christ's name, amen, amen. You may be seated today. Praise God. Brother Dan said it was kind of cold when he got here, but I don't know. That seems to have changed. I feel like Abraham, we've come in the heat of the day. Hey, amen. No, I thank God that we have a building that we can control the temperature. I would just appreciate the Lord and all His blessings. You know, many people don't have these things, but we do, and we're a blessed people. I got to start taking my jacket off. I think it's time to get dry cleaned. I got Mark over here, spit over here, is holding my baby. She drooled all over me, and well, that's just the way it is when you're parents. You just kind of get used to that after a while, and if you ain't used to that, you might not want to have kids. I'll just say that they're gooey. Anyways. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord and to come hear the Word of God. I thank God for this part in the Scriptures we just read. It says, "Then the Lord appeared unto him," and we just preached here last Wednesday that God prepares us to hear His voice before we even get there. And before this, Abraham had met with God and fell down, and what gave him the faith is God told him, "Be circumcised. At this time, receive a seal of your covenant between us." God had already given them a covenant. God had already said, "Abraham, you're going to have a son, and it's going to come through Sarah." But it came time where he had to be circumcised from all the things of the world so he could receive the promise, brother, sister. We're going to be awful quiet. I'll just preach twice as loud. But if you're not circumcised from the things of the world, you can't receive the promise of God. Not because God don't want to give it to you, but because you're in no condition to receive it. The Pharisees could not receive Jesus because their hearts were hardened from Him. Amen. Amen. The Israelites, had they just followed not just a natural circumcision, but a spiritual one, to say our unbelief doesn't matter. God said that that land is ours. And if they just would have been circumcised in their heart, they said, "What are these giants? What does that matter? God told us that that's our land and we're going to go take it." And I thank God, no matter how much unbelief circles the earth, there's always a witness of somebody who stands up and says, "I believe it. I'll take it."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I think it's time for some Calebs to rise up and say, "You know what? I don't care about all y'all's unbelief. If ain't nobody going to believe this promise, I am."
Amen.
You can call it arrogance. If you call it arrogance, I'm going to tell you what it is. You got a devil on you. That's what they did to Jesus. They thought it was Jesus being arrogant when he began to heal the sick and do these things on a Sabbath day. They thought he was just doing it to be nasty. He wasn't. He was doing it to show them that their doctrine wasn't good enough for that day. He told his disciples, "If your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you won't be saved. You're not going to make it."
Right.
Amen. And what becomes the problem, brother, sister, is we've got too many voices coming into our lives to where we don't even pay attention to the voice of God. And a Christian is not supposed to live that way. A Christian is supposed to be so sold out, he only cares about one voice. And that's the voice of God. And as long as I know I've heard the voice of God, let every contrary voice come. I don't care who it comes through. I don't care, pastor, priest, deacon, church, right out of Satan's mouth. I don't care. If I've heard from God, I'm going to stay with God told me.
Amen.
And every Christian has to learn. You don't just hear an audience one. You need to live in the audience of one.
Amen.
That wherever I go, I'm only listening to His voice. Whatever I do, it's what does the Lord want from me?
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And every time a person struggles, every time a person can't overcome, every time, and you begin to break it down, what is it? You're not trying to listen to the voice of God. You've gotten rid of that and substituted it with something religious.
Right.
Well, as long as I read this song and pray like this, and look, you ought to do those things, but if it's legalistic and you're not just trying to hear the voice of God, it will not give you overcoming power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You've got to be convinced that this word is truly the voice of God, or you'll never have the respect to even get anywhere, brother, sister. Like right here, what we just read there, it says Abraham, the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in his tent store in the heat of the day. Woo, glory. Jesus sometimes will come right when it ain't convenient. Right in the heat of the day. Why didn't he come in the cool of the evening like he did back in the garden? Well, we're under sin now, so I guess we got to overcome some things. Amen. He came to him at a time that was not convenient for his flesh. Brother, sister, I don't care how bad your flesh feels. I don't care if you think, well, I don't like the way it feels in here right now. I have a bad chip on my shoulder from earlier. That don't have nothing to do with it. Is Jesus speaking to you? Then answer his voice right in the heat of the day.
Amen.
Glory to God. And Abraham shows us what it means to be a real believer because he was anticipating this. I believe that with all my heart because the Lord had just met with him. And he looked out there and he saw the three coming. But look, he didn't care about three. He saw one. The Bible says he saw three men coming, but when you look at him talking, you don't even recognize he recognizes anybody besides the one in the middle.
All right, amen.
Glory to God. Why are we so quiet? Something wrong in the house of God today, I'll tell you that. Because this is why. You're waiting for me to pump you up. You're waiting for me to give you an audience. That ain't the audience you're here to listen to. It's the audience of Jesus Christ. When you get a group of people that recognize what they used to be in sin and remember that voice coming through and saying, but my blood has saved you. My blood has redeemed you. Look, you don't got to pump up worship at that point.
Amen.
Somebody gets to come out and say, oh, amazing grace, how sweet the sound. We got to quit singing songs and worship when we sing. Worship when we live.
Amen.
The only thing that'll hinder that down is unbelief.
Amen.
What happens? You begin to think, well, maybe it ain't really the voice of God. Maybe I'm not really saved. And I'll tell you what, if you don't really know if you're saved or not, you won't really praise. Because you're just kind of doing it. You're just kind of being religious, just kind of go with the motions. But when a revelation drops, then no matter what happens, no matter where I am, I'm elect of God. I am one of His. Glory to God. I've passed the riven veil where the glories never fail. I'm living in the presence of the King.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. What did he do? He look right there in Genesis 18. He said he lifted up his eyes. He saw, lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door. Look at the first thing he did. And bowed himself to the ground.
Right.
What's a big problem in the church these days? Just a total lack of respect. People want the blessings of God. They want the power of God. They want the results of following the Word. But having respect towards it, they don't want nothing to do with that. Hallelujah. And it's just a thing. It's been prophesied in the Bible it was going to happen. It happens in homes. We got kids nowadays don't even care what their parents got to say about nothing. Then you got parents don't even care about the kids enough to even discipline them or take care of them or ask what they're doing. That's the other side of it. Then we got a whole nation that don't even respect its people, and we got people that don't respect the government. And if there's no respect, there's no trust. If there's no trust, there's no love. And I'm telling you right now, if there's no love, your nation's falling apart. Your home is falling apart. Your experience will fall apart. When we come to God, when you recognize that it's God, it ought to make you the most humble person in the world because it gives you respect. I'm not coming in the presence of a king. I'm not coming in the presence of a pastor or somebody I think spiritual. This is Him.
Amen.
This is Him. This is the one that made everything I'm looking at. This is the one that created the body I'm living in right now. This is the one that when He knew I should be condemned and go to hell, said, no, I'll take that condemnation upon myself and I'll nail it to my cross.
Amen.
Glory to God. The nation we live in, the world we live in, we've left this respect towards God. And how does it come down to reality? Respect towards church begins to fall down. To where it's just literally, who cares? You know, you go to most churches, and I'm not even saying in the message necessarily, we got enough truth in this word to keep these things out most of the time, but you go to any denominational church, there's no respect before we get started, don't even worry about it. Everybody just walks in, talks like we're just sitting in our living rooms or something. And it's a shame, but ain't right. What does it show? We don't believe we're coming into the audience of that one.
Right.
We're coming in some denominational thing. It's a social affair. And as long as it's a social affair, I'm here to tell you, you're not part of a church. You're part of a lodge. You're part of a group of people that just gather together to have fun. Which, I mean, outside of serving the Lord, I guess, if you want to go have a hobby or something, I'm not so legalistic to where I bash on everybody because I got a hobby. It's fine to have a hobby. It's, is that what you worship, or do you worship a God that oversides anything about that hobby?
Amen.
Amen. Look, this is why I even celebrate my birthday and things, and you, it's Tuesday, just to let you know. Everybody thinks now it's Saturday or Sunday because my wife posted a video of them singing to me. But I don't mind. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate it. I feel special. That's good. I think that's great as well. But I'm going to tell you right now, there would be no birthday party for Brother Andrew on a Sunday afternoon.
That's right.
I hope you hear me now. We're not going to cancel church on Wednesday night because we got to have a birthday party. And you think that's ridiculous because I'm a pastor, but people do it all the time. What is it? It's idol worship. I hate to break it to you. Look, scripturally, that there's no real room to have a birthday party scripturally. And I'm talking like foundationally. It really isn't. There's two people I know that did it, and that was Herod and Pharaoh. That's not a great congregation to be associating with. Is it all right to make somebody feel special? Say, hey, we appreciate the Lord that you've been here for a year. Yeah, praise God. Go ahead. You know, Jesus said it's better to give than to receive. I'm not against buying people stuff. But if you're doing it just because you have to, because it's some dumb tradition you've come up with, and you're willing to skip church for it, I have a problem with that. It might get real quiet, but that's all right. We're going to tell the truth. It's the same with Christmas, brother, sister. If you're going to do things for Christmas, I'm not here necessarily to oppose that. I know there's plenty of pagan things in there, but today is Sunday, and that's a pagan day because of the way it was set as the sun god's birthday. So that's why we're here on Sunday. So, okay, there's plenty of pagan things we can't get around from. Why is it the year 2016? That's pagan. That's not the Jewish calendar. That's a Roman calendar. It's a pagan thing. So there's pagan things. But here's the point. If you can, all things are lawful for me, not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. So when you begin to watch how, if your approach to Christmas, if it creates, well, you need to tear it down. That's all there is to it. I'm even starting to have this conversation with my son because he said something to me about, he's like, Christmas is coming up, Dad. I said, what's Christmas about, Dawson? He said, presents. I said, ooh, we're having a problem. And people, see, that's the thing. Now, trust me, I don't say nothing about no Santa Claus and all that trash. But I, like I said, it's better to give to receive. I want my kids. Brother Bram said that about the children. He said, really, the things we do is for the kids. So when they go to school, everybody's got, hey, look at the new stuff I got. Look at all this stuff. And, you know, we're so legalistic. They go, well, I didn't get nothing. And a little kid his age really don't understand it. That's all there is to it. And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem I have is when we got 50, 60, 70-year-olds who said, where's my gift? Grow up, man. Like I said, I didn't really expect to have a birthday party. I didn't really care. Come on. After a while, I thought we were supposed to like try to avoid anybody knowing about that. Isn't that right? But tell you what, there's some people, man, they skip church for it. They'll skip work for it. They'll spend money they don't have to do something on their birthday. They say, I got to. It's my birthday. No, you're a man now. Who cares about your birthday? You need to be responsible and take care of your house. You don't got money to go on vacation, brother.
Right.
How about you go buy you some food? Amen. Where are we going? Hallelujah.
Come on.
What it is, I'm telling you, it's just, when you leave an audience of one, and when you leave the audience of Jesus Christ, you'll watch idols start popping up.
Sure.
You know why? Because a man is built to worship. He has to worship. And as much as anybody tries to get away from it, I mean, sports are the greatest sign for this.
Right.
You take the laziest guy in the world. Ain't never ran two steps hardly. But man, he'll tell you, man, the Browns this Sunday just should have done this and that. And just got his walls plastered with their stuff and don't know a thing about it. Why? It's idol worship. He wouldn't worship God, so the devil said, here, I got an easy one. Let's just throw sports at him. There you go. And like I said, it's okay to have hobbies, but be careful. Don't let the devil get a hold of that and make an idol out of it. Amen. I've been on both sides of this, all right? I've seen them brothers who are like, wait a minute, you went golfing? You went golfing? Now, I ain't saying on Sunday now, don't get me wrong. I didn't say skip church on Wednesday to go do it. I've heard of deacons doing that in the message, okay? And I've heard pastors that get tired from because they came in late golfing, so I guess we're just having tape service tomorrow. It's a true story. I've heard all this stuff. So it's nonsense. It's a mess. But look, if it's Friday and you want to go do something, I'm not going to say you can't go golfing. Some of y'all might not believe that, but see, and then you get legalistic brother said, no, you know, he ain't saved now because he went golfing. And it's just like Paul. He said, why are you condemning me because I ate what I had faith to eat? It was sacrificed to an idol, I understand that, but I got faith to eat it. Leave me alone. That's what he said. But he said, look, if I find a brother who's offended by it, I'm not going to go out of my way to offend him. And I love Christmas is the best example for that. I hope this is hitting home on somebody. That if you have a brother who you know hates everything about Christmas, and you might have a Christmas tree up, you might not want to invite that brother over for a while. Not because you're being legalistic, not because you're letting somebody else dictate your life, but you're letting the love of Christ take over. You're looking at this as an audience of Jesus Christ, and as Paul said, why would I set a stumbling block for my brother that Christ died for?
Amen.
Sure, I might be, and this is what I love when people think, well, I'm a stronger believer. Well, then act like it and love them more than they love you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Sure.
Well, I only love those that love me. Well, you ain't even a step one of Christianity. Jesus blasted that from left to right, brother, sister. He says, what are you different than a sinner? How are you different than these people you hate in politics? Obama loves his family. He takes care of them. They love him back. Oh man, whoop-de-doo, you loved your family. Good job. I'm serious. This is you're not living in the audience of Jesus Christ if all you can love are those that love you.
Right.
It's when you know this guy hates my guts. This guy wants me dead. But you've got enough audience with the Lord. Are you hearing me now? To say, I can look past all of that. And I see a soul. And I see a soul in a cage of sin. And I remember that was me before. And somebody took enough time to say, there's a chance for him. I'll witness to him. When are we going to remember that? The only reason we heard the gospel is because somebody had enough faith to witness to us. Then why are we not to take the same burden to the world and say, Father, if you could save a wretch like me, I know they're a wretch. I know they hate me, but I can look past it. I see a devil on them, but I see a soul that wants free. God, give me words to speak to get past that and break that out of that shell. Hallelujah. We've got to learn, like right even here, when Abraham, look what he says, and he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee from thy servant. And what does he begin to say? I want you to come, as most of us would say, so you can serve me. So, Lord, hey, you're here. Did you bring some money for lunch? Did you bring some pizza with you? Come on. No, what did he say? He said, Lord, you're here. I'm here to serve you, Lord. I'm here to do what I can for you. Many times, brother, sister, look, you don't come to church to take. It's going to hit real hard and deep, I think. You don't come to church to take. You come to give. I've met plenty of people who don't get a revelation of that. So they don't look for a church where they could give out something to help the work of God there. They look for somewhere where they don't need them so they can sit on the side, just take, 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 take. Sit over there. If I miss, no big deal. If I'm there, no big deal. And if I'm there, you know, I got people to talk to. I got fellowship. Take fellowship. Then we go and they sing songs. Well, I don't need to sing because there's enough people here to sing that's loud enough. They don't need to hear me. Take, 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 take. Oh, the Holy Ghost moved down on the service. Why? They had a nice evangelist and the other 20 people got in the Spirit. Well, I'll just jump right in on the side and take, 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 take. But that ain't what the way it works, brother, sister. If you're a Christian, you're here to give.
Amen.
What are you here to give? You're here to give your heart. You're here to give your love. You're here to give your emotions over to Christ and say, Father, I love your word. I'm here to give you service. I'm here to give you worship. I'm here to give you the one thing you're looking. Instead, he's running to and fro, trying to find somebody that'll believe him.
Amen.
And Father, I want you to have glory out of my life. Sure, I came to church sick. But I'm coming because I believe you, Lord, and I want you to get glory in my life. I want to be healed today for the glory of God.
Amen.
That's an audience of one. We've got to get to where God's opinion becomes fact.
Woo! Amen.
That what God said is.
Amen.
And Abraham had that. When he met this man, it says, and he said, my Lord. And you know what my Lord is? It's Adonai. Glory to God. What does Adonai mean? It says it's the title spoken in the place of Yahweh in Jewish, displaying a display of reverence. So it means the same as Yahweh, which is Elohim, which is God Almighty. But he's using a word that means reverence towards you. And not only do I know who you are. I know who you are, that you're the one I met before. Hallelujah. You're the King of all. You're the King of Salem. You're the King of peace, the King of righteousness. You're the King of kings.
Yes, he is.
But I'm not just going to address you recognizing who you are. I'm going to address you in the reverence I ought to show you for who you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And as I said before, the reverence, I mean, that's what's going to bring judgment to this world, is the disrespect towards God's Word. Because even an unbeliever, if you'll show enough respect towards God's Word, God will bless him for it. You go look in the Bible, go find it. You can find many times where Nebuchadnezzar finally humbled himself and God blessed him for it. That's right. He didn't have a revelation. Don't use that as a cop-out. Well, I don't have a revelation. Well, you know it's the Word. Well, yeah, but I don't have a revelation. Too bad. You ought to obey anyways. And if you'll just obey, God will give you the revelation if you're a real believer. All right. Amen. Let me read this. Coming out of Israel in the church, it's 1953. It says, that's what we're heading for now. We've rejected mercy and there's nothing left but judgment. When you spurn the love of God, there ain't nothing left for you but judgment. That's right. Hell and winds everywhere. What's all this about? Perplex of time, distress between nations. Judgment. Yeah, you can put a good character in every county and you still couldn't stop it. Men, they're going to drink. Women are going to smoke cigarettes. You're going to go on to your shows. You can go on carrying on like the way you always did, just like a hog to its wallow and a dog to its vomit. No more respects for God than nothing in the world. And the people that's trying to live right, you call them holy rollers and fanatics and everything else. And not knowing that your own soul's weighed in the balance and waiting nothing but judgment. Yes, sir. See, brother, sister, it's a sold out time. Abraham, when he came here, Abraham had riches. Abraham had glory. Abraham had cattle. He had gold. He had silver. But what did he do the second he recognized that audience of one? He humbled all of it. He didn't care about what anybody said. So he was sitting right in his tent, right in the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day. He ran out there and fell on the ground. What do you think that did for his servants when they looked at him and said, whoa, there went our master. And he didn't even hesitate. He fell right to the ground in front of that man. And they might have thought he said three, but then they heard his voice and he's like, no, he's just talking to one of them. You say, well, you know, I would hear from God, but my pastor. Oh, you got an audience of two now. I would hear from God, but my wife, but my children, but my job, but. And you know what's wrong? You've got too much of an audience in your life. And the second this revelation strikes you, it'll take care of when you have a problem. You got to recognize, I just need to hear His voice.
Amen.
The second I hear His voice, and that's what Abraham was so concerned with. I need to hear His voice. You remember Brother Branham typed it as Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. He said, angels sent to the church nominal. They went down to Sodom, but this one stayed. And he wasn't concerned with what happened in the nominal churches. He didn't just sit there and bash on them all day. He needed to hear from God Himself. And God did the same from us. He didn't send us this message to just bash everybody else and get on a big deal about Sodom. He said, no, we've come to hear from the voice of the Son of Man Himself.
Amen.
Jesus Christ revealing Himself the same yesterday, today,
Amen.
And forever. And brother, sister, God tore the veil between man and God back on the cross. Why? To bring us back to that fellowship of one. You are personally invited by Jesus Christ to
Amen.
Fellowship just with Him.
Amen.
Quit bringing other people in there.
Amen.
Quit bringing other thoughts in there. Hallelujah. Look, I don't care how old you are. You're supposed to hear from God yourself.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And Jesus weighed in on this quite a bit. Let's turn to a few scriptures here. Matthew 6. And if it cuts you, that's good. How about you just open up and say, Amen, I believe the Word. Amen. That's right. It'll do your soul a lot better. I'll tell you that right now. Matthew 6. And I'm going to be turning to Matthew and Luke here. I got a few. There's plenty more of these if you wanted to look and study it out. But Matthew 6, 24, Jesus says this. He says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And people, brother, sister, I hate to break it to us, we don't even have a lot of money to be made even if we do go into the world. We just ain't the clientele for it. But I've watched many people, listen to me now, who can't get enough faith to say, you know what, I'm going to put God first. I'm going to put God first. I don't know. I don't know how we're going to do this. I'm tired as all get out, but I'm going to get up. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I need to hear His voice before I even get out the door today.
Amen.
You watch. If you start getting away from that, and it's the same with going to church, same with reading your Bible, same with listening to sermons and praising the Lord and be concerned with that voice. The second you leave that, what happens? Satan comes. And man, he's got a lot of good secondary voices, don't he?
Sure.
stuff good enough. Oh, you all right? It's all right. The Lord understands. Yeah, He understands. That's why He told you to do it His way. Amen. That's right. When Noah understood the way to go, he didn't worry about what anybody else said. He built the ark the way God told him. When Moses heard from God and saw a vision of what the tabernacle looked in heaven, he didn't care what anybody else had to say about it. He said, this is what we're doing. He said, Moses, I didn't see it that way. I don't think that works that way. He says, I do not care. I have heard from an audience of one, and that's the way it was built there, and that's the way we're going to build it here. And God has done the same. He sent us a voice that passed for all time and eternity and went past and saw the mind of God and brought that to us and said, this is what a son of God is. Amen. This is what a daughter of God is. It's a victorious church without spot or wrinkle. It's men and women who live above the sin and shame of this world.
Amen.
Who live in a realm where they're in the audience of one God, between them, one person. Hallelujah!
Yes, sir.
You cannot serve God and mammon. Turn over to Luke 9. Glory to God. I praise His name. He's worthy today.
Amen.
Yes, He is. Just in case you got excuses why you got some other reason you can serve God, here Jesus goes ahead and take care of that for you. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said to him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Man, that sounds good, don't it? What did Jesus say? He said to him, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. He said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the gospel, preach the kingdom of God. Man, Jesus, you're not real sensitive. Don't you understand? This man just lost his father. You see how we're listening to too many audiences. Look, Brother Branham stood behind the pulpit, was getting ready to preach. What happened? They brought him a note, said, come right now, your mother's dying. And he put it down, he said, the word of God is more important than that. God will hold mama. Hallelujah! And Brother Branham, I remember they came up to me and said, I think it was another minister, said, Brother Branham, I thought a lot about you before, but I think of you as a 10 feet tall man now. He said, I think so much more of you now. Look, why? It's an audience of one, brother, sister. Many people say, well, I have to do this. No, you got to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And God don't contradict Himself. When He tells you to do something, that's what you need to be doing.
Yes,
I believe church is one of them things. It ought to take preeminence in our lives. That's right. And daily devotions ought to take preeminence in our lives.
Amen.
Amen. And thinking about what God wants me to do is preeminence in our lives. Hallelujah. We don't got excuses. Let the dead bury their dead. He said, no. Go. Yeah, or that's what Jesus said. He said, just go. Let somebody else take care of that. Just like everybody, oh, I have to work Sundays. No, there's plenty of sinners out there. Trust me, there'll always be plenty of sinners out there to do that. And he said, that's terrible, brother. No, that's the world we live in.
Uh-huh.
That's right. And don't get so legalistic you don't think nobody should. God knows how to work all things out together for good to them that love Him. The world was made for the sons and daughters of God.
Uh-huh.
And you might think God's being partial, but He's the Creator. You go take it up with Him. See how that works in His court. Hallelujah! That's right. At the end of the day, God is God. He makes the choices. And our job is to humble ourselves and say amen.
Amen.
That's right. Let me keep reading. And another also said, Lord, I will follow Thee, but... You could preach a whole sermon right there. I will follow thee, but go ahead. Put your excuse there.
Uh-huh.
I've heard that too many times. I would do this, but you know, it's just the way it is. I don't understand. I mean, I came to this at this time and I've got, no, I don't care. That's what the word says. Go do it, brother. That's right. Well, I don't know how to handle this. Yeah, I do. Go hear the voice of God. He'll tell you how to handle it.
Right.
Don't call me every 2 seconds what color Kool-Aid you need to buy. Listen to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
People ask silly things like that, and that's why pastors lose their minds, because they let that stuff go on. Saying, brother, I went looking for a car and I found a good deal. What do you think about it? I don't know. You pray. Why do I need that revelation? You're the one that needs it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But see, what begins to happen, brother, sister, too many times, and too many pastors like that they're part of the audience. Too many of them want you to call them all the time so they can feel important. Here, go ahead and take this to the bank. That ain't Brother Andrew. All right, because I understand my limitations as a human anyways. I can't handle that. Jesus told us, sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. For me to take anybody else's life upon myself, two is too many. Look, we bear one another's burdens. Don't get me wrong. I understand that. But at the end of the day, every man will bear his own burden. But don't worry about bearing your burden when you recognize you're in the audience of Jesus Christ. And even though if I'm Daniel out here in the middle of Babylon by myself, I've got the Lord. And I'm still opening my windows. And I'm still praying 3 times a day, even if it is illegal. Because I don't care about no king. I'm in the audience of him.
Amen.
And that's my absolute.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And another one said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first, bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Did he not remember Rebekah and Isaac? How many knows the story? Eliezer, they said, Laban and the family said, okay, Rebekah, you can go, but let's do a little thing here and get kind of, make a little leaving ceremony. Eliezer said, don't you hinder me. God prosper his way. We're going now.
Right.
Hallelujah. And what'd they do? They went to Rebekah. Thinking, oh yeah, she's part of the group. She understands. No, Rebekah heard something different. She heard from the audience she needed to. And they said, are you going to go with this man? All right, come on. I'm sure they pumped it up real ridiculous. We've been here for years, Rebekah. Come on. Look, we got to take care of this and get the house finished up, get your stuff packed up just nice and neat. And that's going to take a while. Will you go with this man? I'll go. That's right. Hallelujah. And that ought to be you and me, brother, sister. Look, if your logic is getting involved, I'm telling you, it's because you've left the revelation somewhere. If you hear the revelation of the voice of God, nothing gets in the way.
Amen.
Say, we're pressing on forward. That's right. I'm going to go wherever God told me to.
Right.
Before you think I don't understand that, how do you think I started this church? If I didn't have a revelation, this thing would have never gotten nowhere. Some people might not think it has now, but I sure appreciate the ones that do come, have been healed, been saved, delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost, 13, 14 baptized. People don't think, well, here's the thing, I'm not baptizing hundreds, but I want to know that the 14 I did baptize got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We're not just here to get numbers and say, well, look at us, we did this, we did that, we'll put on a mission report, send it all over the world so they can send us their money because they support our missionary. Audience of one, brother, sister. Audience of one. He says, but let me go first and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
So that's either an absolute to us or it isn't. Why are we looking back then? Why are you worried about last year? Why are you worried about last church? Why are you worried about what this brother did? What happened back here? Look, you're not worthy yet.
Amen.
Why? Because there's a job to be done. You're sitting there looking backwards all the time. You've worked with them people just too worried about something that done broke 10 years ago. What do I care about that? You don't understand. I'm just geared this way. I don't care. We got a plow. We need to move it there. Get busy.
Amen.
People bring their complexes, their last 20 years of their life, every service, and never go nowhere. Why are you worried about that? That's done, buried, and gone anyways. We got to plow forward.
Amen.
Jesus said, you're not worthy of it. Why? You're a waste of money to an employer. If you ain't present for it, you're wasting my time. I hired you to do something. Get out there and do it.
Amen.
I wonder if that's why them 11-hour workers, why he had no problem giving them a penny, because they got so much more done than everybody else standing around looking at them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Turn to 14. Luke 14. See, it's not quantity, really. It is quality. It really is, brother, sister, because if you get the fellowship with Jesus Christ, it trumps all the fellowship you had outside of that. 5 minutes with the Lord did a whole lot more in Moses' life than any years without him. That's right. Hallelujah. Luke 14. And I can find it here. 25. Luke 14, 25. And I love the title of mine. It says, Discipleship Again Tested. Hallelujah. Are you really going to be a disciple or not? The word disciple, really, in the Greek, if you look into it, meant like a math student. But in that time, that meant because you were so dedicated to it. Because you could not learn anything else besides that one discipline or you've never been called a disciple.
Right.
So Jesus said, go into the world and not make converts, not fill pews. Go make disciples. Go make those that they only want to hear this one gospel.
Okay.
Whoo, glory. All right. He says, and there went a great multitude with him. And he turned and said to them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also. He cannot be my disciple.
Uh-oh.
So are we going to throw somebody else in there and say we're allowed to do that? No, you can't. Jesus said you won't be able to. You can't do it. And look, it's not even a matter of like he's just going to make sure you can't. You can't do it. You won't be able to because that second voice will always come in and it'll taint the voice of God in your life. What does he mean by hate? You can look it up. It doesn't mean hate as in you despise them. It means hate as in you love them less. Oh, this really hit home quick, didn't it? Yeah, are you supposed to love God more than your wife? Yep. Children? Yep. Your lands? Yep. Your brethren? Yep. It's supposed to be so much that the world would think you hate them because you love God that much more. And I'm going to tell you though, we talk about trickle-down economics, that don't work. But I'll tell you what does work, trickle-down love. If you love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, I'm going to tell you right now, you'll love your wife. You'll love your children. You will love your brothers. You will love your, you'll even love your own self the way you were supposed to. Amen. Now let me keep reading. He says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, and sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I actually have an uncle who did this, and we mock him. It looks ridiculous. There's a little bit of wood now. It's just a pile of wood. Don't mean nothing. That's right. You wasted time and money. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is a great way far off, he sent an ambassage and desires conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. And just before you think God's a big bully, that Jesus just takes, let's go read one more, and then I'm going to move on. You got some time this afternoon? Amen. Matthew 19. And then I got some quotes and bring this to a close. Matthew 19. I'd ask the Lord speaking to you, but I know He's speaking, but are you listening? Amen. Why do I know He's speaking? This is the Word, brother, sister. Anytime this Word speaks, it's Christ Himself again. Hallelujah. Matthew 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore? I always love Peter just going out there and asking what everybody's thinking. Amen. That's right. So does God let us sacrifice to not give back? No, sir. He's a good father. Oh yeah, he knows. And even the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing because he sees that little thing you did that nobody else did. He sees that one time you slipped that brother $20 just because you knew he needed it. Come on now, brother, sister, and you will receive a reward for that. God will count it to the very last farthing. Yes, he does. You see how that, once we get that to be an honest one, you don't hold on to that $20 so hard anymore, do you? Some of you still do, but that's all right. You'll get the revelation and let go of it. Your money ain't worth nothing anyways. It's only what we can do with it that counts. That's right. It says, therefore, or what shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one of you that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my namesake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Glory to God. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So look, when you live in the audience of God, is God going to call you to sacrifice? Absolutely. And if you don't think so, then you're living under some prosperity gospel. Go find Joel Osteen. Listen to that for a while. That's what you're believing. But that ain't the way God works. We sacrifice because we care about the kingdom. We sacrifice because we care about God's opinion. And we want God to know we love Him. Amen. And we want Him to know we love His Word, that we appreciate and we want it in our lives and our hearts. If you're not dictated by the love of God, you're not serving God. Amen. Amen. But a Christian that does, look, we're not doing it for naught. Trust me, God loves back. And we all, any Christian that's served God any amount of time knows God loves you back so much more than you ever loved Amen. Him. Oh my, and we don't even recognize it many times. I've met many people who finally get a revelation, start paying their tithes. And then what happens? They all of a sudden, man, I feel like I got so much more money now. Yeah, you know why? Because now your car didn't break down. Come on. Now, you know, that electric bill, how'd it get so low? I don't know. Don't worry about it. Let the Lord take care of that one. That's right, brother, sister. Are you telling me he's God of the universe and can't make a electricity go back the other way? It sounds ridiculous, but he told one man to ask what he wanted. He said, do you want the sun to go down 10 degrees or back up? That's right. Why? It's the audience of one. This is God. This ain't a hard thing for God. He said, what's the big deal? I think it was Hezekiah is who it was. He said, what? It's no big deal for it to go down 10 degrees. Nobody can believe that. Let it go back. What Isaiah, it said Isaiah cried out to the Lord and it went back 10 degrees. Hallelujah. Why? He heard from an audience of one and Hezekiah knew I'm getting well. Hallelujah. Hezekiah knew I'm not dying. Even though the word of the Lord already came and told me I'm going to die, now I know the word of the Lord came and said I'm going to live. Amen. Whew, I don't know. Do we like that one? How come Jonah? Look, he brought the word of the Lord, didn't he? What'd he say? 40 days, you're all dead. And he started walking out. What happened? That king forgot about all the other audiences in his life. And he gave audience to one. He said, that's the word of the Lord. That's God Almighty. This God's the real God. I don't care what all you guys are serving. I know this one's the real one. And not enough to just hear it, but he obeyed it. He gave reverence to it. He said, look, I proclaim a fast.
Yes, he did.
For men, beast, children, everyone, sackcloth and ashes. Don't eat or drink until we figure out what's going on.
That's right.
I can barely get us to have a prayer meeting, much less that. What is it? We're living in too many audiences. Some of us, we just got what Google told us about our health. And we need to eat 3 times a day, no matter what. Hallelujah. And other nations would come and laugh at you and say, 3 times a day? I'm trying 3 times a week. And you know what? They're probably healthier than us because we cram ourselves with so much junk that we're making ourselves sick, thinking we're making ourselves healthy. Hallelujah. Whew. This is why I don't believe in pastors forcing people to serve the Lord. Because if you really get a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, you will act according to His Word. Abraham had a revelation of who that man was. And he instantly did what a Christian would do. He showed reverence to him. He showed sacrifice. He came. He wasn't worried about himself. He was making sure the Lord was pleased. And got him, and it said he hasted. Which means he got on it. He knew the need. He said, we got to get this done now. Go kill the best calf I got. Now what we do, I guess I'll go. I mean, bring the worst attitude in the world. You ought to bring your best attitude to the house of God. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. But again, I'm not legalistic to go force you and call you up and say, hey, why'd you come off sour last Wednesday? Come on. And some people think that's what a pastor ought to do. No, I'm going to tell you what the Word said, which is serve God because He is God. That He deserves it. He deserves our respects. He deserves our hearts. He deserves our love. He deserves us giving Him attention.
Amen.
Look how sad that was. Look, you could tell when Jesus came, I think it was Simon's house in the Bible, they had no revelation of who He was. They let Him stand in the corner with dirty feet. But one woman had a revelation. One woman lived in the audience of one. And I don't care how little insignificant you think, all what them religious men couldn't do, one little sinner woman that had found grace, that heard the voice of God fulfill what nobody else could do.
That's right.
And she ran over there and washed His feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. Made herself a reproach. But she didn't care what they had to say about it. She just wanted to hear Jesus' voice.
Amen.
Oh, glory! What did He have to say? He said, Simon, I came in here. You didn't even kiss me. You didn't greet me. You didn't do anything. He said, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since I've gotten here. You never washed me. You never washed my feet. And that day, he stank. That's all there is to it. And you're making me stink in the corner. But this woman is washing her feet with my tears. And though her sins be many, they're all forgiven. For he that loveth much, or he that loveth little gets little, essentially. He that loveth much will get much. I know I didn't quote that exactly right, but you understand what the Scriptures say there. Let me read now. Out of Christ's mystery, God revealed. Just a few quotes. Give me a few more minutes today. Brother Branham says this. Actually, let me go to this one. God is known. This is 1963. Christ revealed. Christ's mystery, God revealed. God is known by simplicity and of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the most illiterate person. See? Not your theology. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I'll build my church. No other rocks accepted, no other things accepted, no other Roman rock, no other Protestant rock, no other school, no other nothing, but on exactly the revelation of Jesus Christ through the new birth.
Amen.
He borns in there and ejects his own life, and your life is gone. Hallelujah. And the life of Christ is projecting itself through you with the preeminences to the people, that they see the very life and works and signs and wonders that he did is doing the same thing through you. Outside of that, the rest of it's not even called to it at all. God's great revelation unfolding. But the lack of this revelation, Christ personally to you, is why we have so many different divisions among us and so much mockery. So much division among us is because the people lack that revelation. See, they lack that revelation. The teachers. So not only is it people looking, and Brother Branham said it many times, he said there's plenty of honest people trying to serve the Lord. He said, but it's not their fault, really. It's their ministers don't preach the truth. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, you can't live no higher than your pastor. And people think that that means that, you know, pastor's got better authority than everybody else. That's not what he's saying. He's saying whatever you're being fed is all the better you're going to live. I've seen people try to have a revelation of this message and go back to a denomination and say, oh, I'm there to shine light, brother. No, you backslid. You know it. That's right. And you try. You know in your heart what the truth is, and you try to live that, but you just can't do it because this is what you're being fed down here. You're trying to live up here and you're only eating this. We know that in the natural. Everybody knows that if a man sits and drinks Coke and eats Twinkies, he's not going to be a professional athlete. But for some reason we get to spiritual things and we think we can just slip by and just do whatever we want and act like we're going to get results. You're not. You're not, brother, sister. You cannot serve God and mammon. You have to serve God. And you say, well, my husband this. I don't care. My wife this. Not in the equation. Children. Oh, it's just the way I am. Well, guess what? Jesus said even your own self. So you're not even in it. Who's the only audience that counts? Is Jesus Christ. You say, well, where is he? It's the revelation personally to you. That's what the whole... I've got the quote. Let me read it to you. Brother Branham says, it says, what is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Amen. See, not you joined a church, you shook a hand, you done something different, you said a creed, you promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, He is the Word that was revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says, what takes place, it's Christ. Pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That is the revelation that the church was built upon. And I love I don't know if it's not his office anymore. When Brother Craig's office said God started his church the way he wanted it, and he wants his church the way he started it. And what was the church built on? The revelation of the personal revelation to each believer of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus Christ in you personally. And when that comes to be, that is the new birth. That's what Jesus meant. That's being born from above.
Amen.
And what does it do? It gives you an opportunity, brother, sister, to be an audience of one. To be just like what Abraham was, talking to God face to face. Remember the word he used there is Adonai. And you could say, the way it's used is only for God Almighty. There's other times where they use words for God that could be used for other gods or other lords, but this one he was talking that he was the Almighty God. And now that we've been born again from above, I hope you ain't bored yet. I have an opportunity.
Yes, I do.
To walk right into the Shekinah glory.
Amen.
At all times.
Well,
at all places. And in all circumstances.
Amen.
To live any less, you've sacrificed your experience for some theology, for some reasoning, for some carnality. And I'm here to tell you, you're only going to have enough religion to make yourself miserable. Hallelujah. We hear all kinds of voices, but can you say today, I just want to listen to one? Amen. And this is the last story I want to talk about, and I got a few quotes. Brother Branham was talking, but David one time knew he had the right idea. And he actually had a good revelation, but he didn't have the revelation on how to do it. And Paul even said that that's what most of us struggle with. He says, I know what I'm supposed to do, but how to get it done, I don't really know. And we all struggle with it. We know, most of you said, I know I should have a prayer life, but I can't seem to figure out how to get it done. You want to know the real way to do it? Just do it. Just do it. What did Jesus say?
He said, when you go to pray, close the closet door, go by yourself, and don't tell nobody about it, and your reward in heaven will be great, because your Father that sees in secret rewards you openly. Amen. David, if he just would have found the revelation of God, which you know should have came through the prophet Nathan at the time, but the Bible done told him, it just shows you without revelation of God's word, you could have the Bible sitting right there and you ain't going to do it. Because you have to have revelation. You have to hear the voice of God to even apply the Bible that you do know up here the right way to where it actually lives. Amen. How come everybody, we know, lay hands on the sick and they will recover, but there's so many times we lay hands on the sick and they don't recover. Why? You got to hear, you can read it, but there's no revelation to make it live. You're missing something. You're missing the how, and you can't do that. God does a thorough job when He gives you the Word. He doesn't just give you a blueprint. He tells you how to do it, too. Amen. Amen. And David wanted to bring the ark down, and he consulted captains. He consulted preachers. Called all the deacons. Had men's meetings and all these things that we think vindicates our decisions in the message many times. And then just kind of didn't go consult the Word. Didn't worry about what the Bible said about it. Come on. Didn't worry what the prophet had to say about it. But every church is sovereign in itself. Yeah, and if you're a real church, you're sovereign enough to choose the Word every time. That's your sovereign choice. And if you're not, you're sovereign not the church anymore. That's right. You're allowed to pick to not be the church of the living God. That's right. That's your free moral agency. And he went and what did they say? We'll put it on a new cart.
Sure.
We'll give it a new idea. It ain't different, just new. No, it is different. And they went and tried to do that, didn't they? And for a while, they had a good shouting time. Played with music. They even got some progress. They moved the ark a little bit out of a, can't remember his name now, but it was in a man's house, and they were taking it down to the city of David. And they got so far, and what happened? What happens every time you leave the Word? Just a little stumble. And you don't think, oh, that's no big deal. No big deal, you know. You know, so-and-so didn't get healed. No big deal. Just keep on pressing. No, Brother Bram said it this way. He said, if we pray for the sick and they don't get well, it's time to call a fast and prayer because we something wrong.
Sure.
There's probably sin in the camp somewhere. We need to take care of that.
Amen.
That's right. See, that takes real sincerity. That takes people who really sold out to just serving Jesus Christ and not just the church.
Amen.
Amen. And David, just a little stumble, but what happens is that little stumble that you don't think means anything, when it finally comes to fruition, what does it bring? It brings death. Uzzah, perfectly innocent man, just got caught up in a wrong idea, in a wrong doctrine, at the wrong time. Put his hand to the cart. He was not allowed to do that. God struck him dead right there. That's right, brother, sister. What'd they do? They train. There goes your whole shouting time. What good was that? What good was those special meetings? It wasn't nothing yet because you didn't get to the real rock of foundation. You didn't get to the real revelation. You just had a good emotional time. That doesn't count in the kingdom, brother, sister. But the emotional time is supposed to come after you know you did the right thing and you got the right victory. That's where it's supposed to be, not the other way around.
Amen.
Not trying to pump up to victory. No, we're pumped up because we got the victory.
Amen.
And they went back and they found the prophet. The prophet told him, he said, the Bible says that ark is not supposed to be carried on some ox cart, not some denomination, not to where the people don't even pray anymore, not on a bunch of people that don't have any revelation, not on, no, but God ordained men and women are supposed to take that word upon their own heart, take that burden upon their shoulder, pick up their cross and carry that word wherever they go.
Yes, sir.
Not just in a church, but in their entire life. That's God's given way.
Amen.
And he said, put the ark on the shoulders of the Levites like it's supposed to be. And that's every type. That's a type of every believer in this day. I hope you know that. So take that word and put it on their arms and watch what happens now. And you know what? It got there, brother, sister. The ark returned so much to where David started having a good time. He even took off his shirt, didn't he? And he started praising the Lord. And you say, oh, that's just crazy. Well, don't get you no, whatever her name was, his wife, Micah or Micaiah. Don't get that attitude. Well, that's just a little bizarre. That's too crazy. He said, you just don't get what you don't hear the audience I'm hearing from.
Amen.
I hear victory in the camp. Why? The word's returned. It's back in its right place. And brother, sister, God has said his word and not only sent it, not only give us the what, but told us how. Get the Holy Ghost and that word comes in you.
Sure.
It's back where it's supposed to be. Where? The heart of every believer.
Amen.
Wherever you are, he is.
Amen.
Wherever he is, you are.
Amen.
And you're in that audience that can master any circumstance, any place. Glory to God.
Yes, Lord.
Whew. Let me read you. Trying to do God a service without it being its will. 1965. This is the last thing. It says, many people have said to me, why don't you come over here and hold a meeting?
Well, we'll call you for this. Sign this, that, or the other. Says, wait, you might want it. But what does God say about it? Many people have said to me, I've had invitation, I've had interviews, personal interviews and things. Waited for a year. Wait. How will I know what to say until God tells me what to say? See? Got to wait. That's the reason. I said, write that out. Let me see what he said. See? Wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's right. Notice they consulted only the priests of the day, the theologians, the denominations. And notice by doing that, consulting the priests and consulting the congregation, consulting the people, they did it wrong. Notice the ark was the word. We know that's right because the ark is Christ and Christ is the word. See? The ark or the word was not put in its first ordained, original ordained position. Oh, don't fail to get this, church. Everything was perfect. Everything looked good, like a great revival was coming. But because they failed to consult the right person about it, they consulted the priests, they consulted the dignitaries, they consulted the theologians, consulted the singers, and got everything together with one accord and a great organization of the military and also the forces of the nation. Everything was in harmony for a great meeting, but they failed to consult God, the only audience that mattered. So had Ahab and so had others. Wait a moment. Now don't miss this. They failed to get it because they hadn't consulted. And by doing that, watch. What? By going to the priest, by going to the theologians, and by going to the military forces and not even considering their God-sent messenger to the hour, Nathan, they did it wrong. They went and picked up the ark and put it on a new cart, put it on a new car or a new denomination is going to start up. And not upon the God-given ordained way to pack it. It wasn't supposed to be packed. It was supposed to be packed on the shoulders of the Levites. But you see, when you start wrong, you'll keep going wrong. Amen. Brother, sister, many times when a person finally comes back to the truth, you've got to recognize that you might have been packing this wrong for a long time the wrong way. And it's not something to say, well, I'm embarrassed about this. I thought I was a believer, but I really wasn't for all these years. That isn't what we want. Nobody's embarrassed by that. I want you to come to the truth and get delivered of it. Amen. That's not an embarrassment. That's glory to God. That even though you were in the wrong idea, even though you went the wrong way for 50 years, God has come on the scene and brought you back. What does it do? It proves His election in your life. Many others went that path and just went off the cliff, but for somehow He found you and brought you back and gave you the right revelation.
Yes,
hallelujah. It proved David's election. That's right. When it came to other kings and things, they just left the scene. But David was God ordained to be there. And even though he made a mistake, God corrected him. He humbled himself and it came the right way right after that.
Sure.
Hallelujah. Listen to this. We're talking about Abraham. Let's end on Abraham today. It says, this day the scripture is fulfilled. 1965. We have had the revelation of the Son of God, but the last promise that Abraham had before the Son was made or brought into existence, the one that he had promised, before the promised Son showed up, God manifested Himself there at Sodom as a prophet, being a man in flesh. God, Elohim, as I heard someone speak it a little while ago, which is God. The Godhead bodily was in Him. He was the fullness. Elohim is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we notice there when Lot saw, he says, when Abraham saw him coming, he said, my Lord. And there was three of them. And down in Sodom, Lot saw two. And he said, my Lord's. Lack of revelation. Hallelujah. How does that apply to us today, brother, sister? I'm your pastor. Your brothers and sisters, we have trustees, we've got deacons, you got friends, you got family, and it's great to talk about these things and to converse, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the end of the day, you've got to have a revelation. I'm only concerned with one voice in my life. I need to know that I'm hearing the voice of God down to me. Or really, I'm going to tell you right now, you won't wake up right, you won't eat right, you won't sleep right, you won't answer your phone right, you won't do your job right. Everything will be off. Why? Because if you start wrong, you're just going to keep going wrong. There's nowhere else to go. But today, let it be a reckoning in every one of our hearts that, Father, I believe I'm a son of Abraham. I believe that's my father in the faith, that I am going to be like that. Not only going to, but I'm predestinated to be that. Because I believe in my election in God. That's what Abraham stood for. The election of God is in my life, and I cannot be deceived. So even if I was deceived, it has to be temporary.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I can't stay there forever. I have to hear a voice to get me back. You might not have heard the voice of God in your life for 10 years. I don't care. You can hear it today. And I believe you already have if you just open up your heart and say, Father, thank you for speaking to me.
Amen.
Give me the faith to now apply it to my life. Wherever I go, I can hear that voice again. I tell you what, it makes the birds chirping so much sweeter. It makes the sun shining so much greater. And what happens, brother, sister, if you don't, the devil will come and give you something real quick, and you try to go satisfy yourself with that. And you'll do it day after day, hour after hour. And you think, well, just one more, I'll finally get that satisfaction. And what happens? It just isn't there, brother, sister. You're trying to get blood out of a turnip. You're pulling from a well. There's no water down at the bottom. But if you just come back to Christ, come back to that personal revelation that when I get in my closet, I'm not there doing nothing. I'm doing the greatest thing I could be doing right now. I'm talking to God Almighty.
Amen.
Stop trying to run, men, all of us, brothers, stop trying to run your house your own way. You got no business doing that. Go to Him. Say, Lord, give me revelation. Give me revelation. Same with sisters. Same with children. Hallelujah. Don't go down some other devil's well. Why do you think we got this stuff? Why do you think we got phones nowadays? Have you seen this stuff? Now, they'll say it's a free game, won't they? They'll say it's free. Now what happens? They give you a nice, real easy. That's how the devil does any temptation. Makes it real easy right off the bat. Makes you feel good about it. Makes you feel like this is fun. This is a great time. What happens after a while? You start getting too invested. To where if they make it so hard to get new stuff that you got an opportunity to either spend 50 hours trying to do it or just pay them some money. And then you realize this game really ain't free. And it's the same with the devil when he gets any temptation in our lives. It's like, oh, it's just a movie. It's just one movie. It ain't gonna hurt. And what happens? Before you know it, you're doing it 20 hours a week. And then you know what? You're watching filth that you never would have allowed. And then what happens? You go to bed thinking about it. You wake up. You see what I'm saying? The devil, he made it sound free and innocent. Then you realize this is going to cost me a whole lot more. When they lost Jesus for one day, you know how long it took them to find him?
3 days.
And what happens usually in that time when a man finally repents of his ways and starts coming back? We want results like that. We just want God to just pour it on us and just feel blessed. No, you got too much junk in the way. Give it some time. Stay there in the valley of decision and really weigh it out and say, Father, just pour this, just rip this all from my life. And you got to mean business.
Amen.
Don't play around with God because it shows your lack of revelation.
Sure.
People go to, how do I say this the right way without you thinking I'm a stuffed shirt? I'm not, but I've discerned people when they come up with their little cookie cutter prayer about how, you know, oh, I just struggle with this. No, just be honest, brother. Okay, you totally backslid all the way back. You love that thing. Are you going to come up and just confess it? All right. There we go. Now we can get somewhere. Amen. Don't say it's just some little thing in the corner. No, there's an idol right in the middle of my house. That's really what's going on. And I've come here to smash it on the ground and break it to pieces. Amen. I don't believe in progressive repentance. It ought to be. God blessing you back, that's His business. You just got to have faith. But when it comes to you repenting your ways, you ought to smash that stuff on the ground, break it to pieces. As Moses, what did he do? He gathered all the dust, put it in the water, said, go drink that filth. Why? Because the last time we're dealing with it, get rid of this trash out of the camp. And God has called me. He's given us a word. Why? So it can be personally in you and drive sin out of your life, brother, sister. Don't wait on somebody else to do it.
Amen.
He's already in you.
Amen.
Glory to God. You don't have to live caged up anymore.
Amen.
Just get a revelation that God is one and He's the only one I'm interested in listening to.
Amen.
Let's stand together today. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. So begin to sing and worship the Lord. Just take it on your heart today. Say, Lord, I've heard these things. Many of us have heard these things many times. But say, Father, I need a power. I need a force in my life to drive it down in my heart. That when I leave today, I want to have today, Dad. Pass me not. Just go ahead and sing the chorus off. Hallelujah. That today, Lord, that revelation drops in me. Hallelujah. And it's life-giving. It makes me every day. When I'm tempted to fall, it gives me a strength to overcome it and to keep it out of my life. Hallelujah. It gives me revelation that I'm allowing another voice in my life. and it's dictating my decisions. It's making me do things I know are wrong, things I know are dumb, but I'm doing them anyways. Lord, let me come back. Let me come back with all my heart. I don't know. I don't know where you're from, brother, sister. I don't live with any of you. I know you here in church, but look, you can put on a good work at church. That's why every service I like to have a real altar call. Because you never know. You never know where believers are. Hallelujah. And you know what? Even you and me don't really know where we are. But there is one that does. And that's Him. With every head bowed this afternoon, I feel His presence already here with us. And some of you already are responding. I appreciate that because you've recognized you don't need me to get you there. All I'm here to do is to encourage you, to strengthen you, to have the faith to go back to Christ. See, brother, I've just done too much wrong. No, you haven't. Not just yet. You wouldn't be here. You're not just here. You're here with a humble heart. I feel that in the room. I appreciate that sincerity. That's how God can move in your life. Now, are you willing to be honest with Him? Are you willing to take those idols that's been in your life and say, Lord, I'm not going to hide it in the closet because I already know you can see it in there anyways. But I'm here to take it upon my hands. Put it right up to your throne and just smash it down. Say, Lord, I'm done with it. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. Have respect now to God. Say, Lord, you're not raising your hand to me. That's Him. Don't worry about the audience of my voice. That's His voice speaking to you. He's trying to deliver you. God bless you, sister. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, brother. Hallelujah. God bless you, sister. Now, look, don't coddle it. Smash it down. Say, how can I let it? Look, tears of repentance is what we need more than anything, brother, sister. We've had too much dried-eye confessions, and that's why you walk out, and 2 days later, you're right back in the same rut. Hallelujah. If you can't respect God enough in the house of God, how in the world are you going to do it somewhere else? Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Is anyone here say, Father, I'm just here to dedicate myself anew to the cause of Christ. God, I've been a little too wayward. I live my life and then I just kind of throw Christ in when it's convenient. But Lord, having that real revelation of personally being with you all the time, Lord, I've left it. But I don't want to leave it no more, Lord. I want to come back right now. God bless you, saints. You feel His welcoming arms. He doesn't condemn you. He's been waiting on that for who knows how long, for you to finally just let Him back into your life. Brother, sister, it ain't easy. It tears. It rips. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, let it rip out of your life. Let the Master put the salve of His Word back on it, and you'll be way better off than you were before. The devil's got you on a lie that you think you're okay, but really you're not. You've got a sin sickness. And I don't know what it is for each one. I feel I've deserved some of it. You can't put your husband in front of the Word. Hallelujah. You can't put your pride in front of the Word. You can't put your complex in front of the Word. You've got to yield that thing to God. And say, Lord, I wasn't... Even if I was born this way, I believe I've been born again. And I've got no excuse to act like that no more. And if you're not born again, I pray that today you'll say, Father, I need a real revelation of you personally to me. If all this is church and Brother Andrew talking, I'm here to tell you, you lack a revelation. Not just a revelation, you lack the revelation of the hour. Because the voice of God is still alive. When God came to Abraham, how did He meet him? In a body, in human flesh. And spoke His Word just the same as any man. And God has done the same in this day. He's brought His blood, shown the power that the blood could so redeem a man that He could talk just the same to you as He did right through Melchizedek, as He did right through His own Son, Jesus Christ. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So anyone say, Lord, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I want to know what this is all about. Oh, glory. Just refresh my soul with Your presence today, Lord. Hallelujah. God bless each one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people here this afternoon. To the world, it might not seem like many. It might not seem like it matters much, but I know in your sight, you see souls that mean the whole world to you. Lord, and I thank you today for speaking to us, each one individually. Lord, we take our idols, we cast them down. So, Father, forgive us. Lord, give us a renewed strength today by the Holy Ghost to live in that realm, that audience of just your voice, and everything else just passed away. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be in your house. May each one leave here victorious with the promise of God in their hearts. Satan, you've been exposed. I know you know it. Father, may the faith in every believer just rise up to where they keep him out of their lives, Lord. That when he comes back, as you told us, Lord, that the devil goes out of a man and he walks in dry places, but he finds seven other spirits and he tries to come back. Lord, let the good man of faith be in every heart here. May Jesus Christ be alive in every life. That when he would come to that door, he'd meet a man with a strong arm of faith with a two-handed sword and a two-edged sword in his hand and drive that devil right out of our lives. Lord, we lay down our complex. We lay down ourselves. Lord, we don't want none of our life. Crucify us afresh today, Lord, and fill us anew with your life. We live out of every heart. We commit it to you, Father. In the name above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Glory to God. If you know it, can we sing it today as our hearts cry? Lord, we don't want you to pass. We want you to reside in our hearts today. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Sing with all your heart. Pass me not. Oh, gentle Savior. Pass me not.
Oh, pass 206. Me not. Oh, gentle Savior. Hear my heart. Oh, cry.
Thank you, Lord.
And while on others thou art calling, do not pass me.
Just be like Abraham said, Lord, come in fellowship with me. Taken care of. You don't need me to pray you through or anything like that. You're in the audience of Him now. But the Bible does say if we lay hands on the sick, they will recover. So if there's anyone here, I want the opportunity right now. Trust me, I don't care what infirmity is. Is there anyone that has an infirmity in your body that you'd like to be healed from or would like to come right now? Would you come? That infirmity, God bless you. See, that's the faith we need. That Lord, it is what it is. I recognize that this is some spirit that's gotten in my life. It's affecting my body. But Lord, I'm coming as simple as I know to your word. Brother Andrew's going to lay his hands on me. I'm not worried about Brother Andrew's hands. I'm worried about what Jesus said. Jesus said if they lay their hands on the sick, they will recover. And that's what we're doing today. I want you to take that infirmity and lift it right up to the Lord right now and say, Lord, I believe the second hands are on me. The word's finished. It's settled. And I'm leaving here healed today. Those of you who don't have one, pray with these. Say, Lord, let their faith be rock solid. May it be lasting. Even when they leave today, may it just be a sure foundation that the devil can never knock them from.
Amen. God bless you. Now pray. Proclaim it. Say, Lord, thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed, my brother, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed, my brother, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed, my sister, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed, my sister, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed, brother, in the name of Jesus Christ. Be healed in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Heal my sister in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed, sister. Oh, glory! Glory! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. Aren't you grateful to the Lord? Say, thank you, Lord, for touching me. Making me whole, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Oh, the devil had many other voices, but Lord, I heard yours. And that's what I've responded to today. Lord, and I believe it with all my heart. Hallelujah. Oh, that wave of unbelief, would you let it go, brother, sister? That's just the enemy keeping you from the blessedness. You're not being humble. That's the devil keeping you from believing. Believe it with all your heart. Lord, I'm a believer. Hallelujah. Abraham didn't say, Lord, I sold off my wife. He said, Lord, I'm here to serve you. Glory. You say, Lord, I'm from the Chaldeans. He said, no, Lord, you're the one that called me out. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Why is it so hard to believe? Oh, it's just that Laodicean spirit. That's all it is. Just let that thing go. It's the devil. It ain't going to do you no good. Hear the voice of God. Don't harden your heart. Get as loose as you know how to be with your emotions and give them right to Christ. Glory. Savior. Lift in faith now. Oh, worship him your own way. Jesus, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth, Father, from heaven. Thank you for your deliverance, Lord, your love and your mercy to me. Oh, hallelujah. You're worthy of praise. You're worthy of honor. Oh, blessed be your holy name.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Blessing, honor, glory, power be to you, Lord.
Praise.
Thank
praise
you, Jesus.
Praise.
Thank you, Jesus.
How we love
glory,
you.
Glory.
Bless me thy name.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise. Hallelujah, you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise.
Hallelujah. I'm going to say the Lord didn't pass you by, but he stopped and he gave you a touch from heaven. Can you say amen today? Say, Lord, let's just thank him for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for touching us. Thank you for taking care of us once again, Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Oh, Lord, thank you for being so humble to meet with us today.
Praise God.
Even though you're the King of all kings.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Praise
thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Praise.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'd like to sing a song. It's simple, but if you don't know it, 205. In the cross, in the cross. Can you say that's Lord? That's all I want to be. I don't want to leave. I don't want to hear about nothing else. As Paul said, all I want to know is Jesus and Him crucified and what that means to me. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain.
With all your heart. Hallelujah. Love and mercy found me.
Oh, love and mercy found.
They're the bright and morning star. Sheds its beams around me.
Sheds its beams around.
Oh, with all your soul, give Him praise.
Oh, in the cross, in the cross, be my glory.
O Lamb of God,
near the cross, O Lamb,
bring its scenes around me.
O bring its scenes before.
Help me walk from day to day. Amen. With its shadow over me.
With its shadows over me.
With all your heart, praise God.
In the cross, in the cross, be my glory.
Sure.
wayward soul shall find rest beyond the river.
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Worship Him as an audience of one today. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Thank you for your love and mercy to me. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Glory to God.
Thank you,
glory to God.
Oh, how we love
hallelujah.
You.
I'll let you be dismissed on that. We'll sing another song here. I'll let you be dismissed today. And remember, it's Wednesday. Brother Alexander will be preaching for us. Be expecting great things. And Brother
yes.
Trevor again Sunday. I'm sure happy to see him again. I love yeah. Brother Trevor. He's a great brother.
Yes, he is.
Pray be a blessing to y'all, especially those on Sundays. I guess you've heard me quite a few Sundays in a row now I think about it. Haven't had anybody on Sunday in a while, have we?
Not enough.
You know, there's a reason God sent Brother Roy over here. I'll tell
Amen.
You what. Brother Andrew needs that pillar over there, keeping that corner nice and high. Amen.
Amen.
You know, brother says, and I talked about respecting things. I think that's another thing. These old veterans that stayed with this word all these years, we ought to give such a respect to that. You know, Brother Roy, praise God for that.
Amen.
And even some of us that didn't serve God like we ought to, but, you know, we ought to give respect to what God has done in every life that's here.
Amen.
Never look at each other as failures. Look at each other as the victory of Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I think that'll gel the church right together, won't it? Amen. Just get, y'all just preach another sermon out of me, but that's all right. I'm bound for the promised land. I think we all do.
Amen.
All right, we do this. It's right there on 200 there. And we'll sing this as we go. God bless you, saints. Go ahead, Dad.
On stormy banks I stand.